Now, we may be going back to 1983 for today's Just a Minute, but I think this is just about one of the most raucous shows in the series I've ever heard. Brian Johnston's about to take his trousers off, and when they get to limericks in round five, well, there's just no stopping them.
We present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones and Brian Johnston in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we have three of our regular players of the game. And we welcome back to this series for the first time after his success as a guest once before, Brian Johnston. As usual, I will ask them if they can speak on the subject that I give them and try and do it without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And as Brian was so successful when he came as a guest last year, Brian, would you like to begin the show? And the subject that Ernest has thought up is getting dressed on the beach. Will you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
Well, I've just come back from Australia, and if you get dressed on the beach, they'll think you're crazy because no one has anything on at all. So the answer is that you go there in your bathing drawers and you keep them underneath your trousers. You take your trousers off. You then go into the sea.
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Well, he took his trousers off twice.
Yes. You must have had two pairs of trousers, Brian.
I did.
Which is devious anyway. So I'm afraid Derek has a successful challenge. He gets a point for that. He takes the subject. There are 47 seconds. Getting dressed on the beach, Derek, starting now.
Of course, it's quite different getting dressed on an English beach because it's always freezing cold and there are lots of...
And Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation. You have a point, a correct challenge, the subject, and 40 seconds getting dressed on the beach starting now.
Well, I think it's something that one shouldn't really do because beaches are places where it's nicest to let things hang out and let the wind and the rain or whatever it is, sand, blowing into the bulges, crevices, or anything, protuberances that you have with you when you're...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Well, happily, a hesitation before it got too disgusting.
Like the way you put it, Derek, and you have a point on the subject on 20 seconds, getting dressed on the beach starting now.
The best way is to get a very large bell tent with a good flap, and then you can go inside it and put on your knickers, pantaloons, whatever you happen to be wearing, black tie, white tie, and tails, and off you go onto the sand, and everybody say, what a very snappy dresser for a beach. And that's what I like to do, particularly if I'm at Frinton.
When Ian Messenger blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. It was Derek Nimmo, who has the lead, of course, at the end of the round. And Kenneth Williams, will you take the next round? The subject, confidence tricks, 60 seconds starting now.
They come up to you and they offer you something which looks as though it's a bargain. And of course, poor fools, I was one of them on one particular occasion. I actually parted with good money for this watch. And it looked to me to be gold, and when I got it back, it all turned this funny colour. And I showed it to a bloke who was in the trade, jeweller as a matter of fact, and he said, it's copper, mate, you were done. It was a confidence trick, you see. I've seen people doing it. In Oxford Street, they say these perfumes come from the house of so-and-so and so-and-so. Frightened of saying, you know, the famous names, because you mustn't advertise on the radio.
And then you'd have been had for deviation because you mustn't advertise. You were caught on your own petard. Yeah. Yes, Derek, you challenged, and I think all the audience know what the challenge was.
I think
was.
They probably
yes,
do.
Yes, so and so and four so's and 25 seconds for you on confidence tricks starting now.
Of course, in a way, I suppose the new member of the panel is something of a confidence trick, because he's supposed to be a working fellow, and to my knowledge, he's never done a day throughout the whole of his life. He's just...
Brian Johnson...
I thought we were meant to speak the truth in this game.
No, you can say whatever you like, but that was deviation, wasn't it?
Well, it was deviation. It wasn't true what he was saying. I've worked very hard all my life.
Exactly, Brian.
You just spent all your life enjoying yourself. I feel so cross about it.
If he has such ability that he can make his work look as if he's enjoying it, what a great artist he must be. Brian, you have a correct challenge. You have the subject and 13 seconds on confidence tricks starting now.
Well, I must admit that my whole life has been a confidence trick because, as Derek said, I do enjoy everything I do. I go to the box, I describe the cricket, I stay there, I have a drink every now and again, and...
Well, Brian Johnston, having...
If he'd been truthful, he'd have told us about the cakes that he eats as well, wouldn't he, really?
That's right, yeah, chocolate
they're,
cakes.
They're sent in, aren't they, by your admiring listeners?
Well, that's another one of his confidence tricks.
And then we give them to the other commentators and they can't speak and they spit all the crumbs out. It's an old joke.
I know, you do it. And then you have to take over, Brian. And anyway, Derek, your turn to begin the subject, Bell, Book and Candle, and you begin now.
Bell, Book and Candle, that is the popular expression given to the rites of excommunication in the Roman Catholic Church. The priests would first ring the bell as though for a funeral. He would then take the book and close it firmly and blow out the candle. The reason being, of course, the bell represented death, the book closing it, as I have already said, nobody can.
We're closing again.
Yes, that's right. He told you,
actually,
didn't he?
I did say close the first time, and it was a deliberate trap. I said closing the second time. A book is on the card.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Closing and close. Wait a minute.
Yes,
the first time you said...
That's why I was waiting for them to challenge them, and they didn't. It was a confidence trick.
I think, actually, Derek, you are right. So I will give you the benefit of the doubt and say that you have 33 seconds on the same subject, starting...
Bell, Book and Candle is a frightfully jolly play written by, I believe, Mr. John Van Druten. It starred in the West End the lovely, gorgeous Lily Palmer, Mr. Rex Harrison, who was married to her at the time before he married a very charming woman whose name is...
Peter Jones' challenge.
Repetition of marriage.
Yes, it was married.
What Rex
married.
Harrison actually did.
It wasn't marrying before. It was definitely married twice. I agree, Peter. 21 seconds. He won Bell, Book and Candle, starting now.
Yes, it ran night after day at the theater. And it starred, as Derek has very aptly put it, Rex Harrison, who had also appeared in another famous play called French Without Tears at an adjacent theater, not very far away from the aforementioned one in Charing Cross Road.
Jones kept going till the whistle went, gained two more points. He's just behind Brian Johnson and two behind Derek Nimmo in the lead. And Peter, you begin the next round. The subject is omens. Will you tell us something about those in 60 seconds, starting now?
They're really signs, aren't they, of something which is to come. Bad ones might include, say, vultures on your roof. You might get the impression, if you saw these birds hovering about, that something very unpleasant was going to happen to you. Likewise, a good one might be Billy Cotton Jr. standing in the garden with a contract under his arm as you get up in the morning.
Brian Johnson, challenge.
He no longer has power to give you contracts. He's now in charge of satellites or something. He has nothing to do with contracts at all.
But you see, Brian, within the context of the game, you keep going, if Billy Cotton Jr. was standing in his garden with a contract under his arm, it would be a good omen, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, all right.
I mean, I agree. Thank you for trying. I mean, it's marvellous. That's what you're here for. But I have to try and be fair always, and I think that Peter still has the subject in 34 seconds, starting now.
It might be a bad omen, of course, if you do...
Derek Nimmo.
It might be. Third time.
Yes, it might be. That was the third time, Peter. Yes, the third. We let it go the second, yes.
Yes.
And 32 seconds for Derek on omens, starting now.
Of course, one of the things that people rarely thought was a frightfully bad omen was when William the Conqueror landed in England. And fell flat on his face. People said, what a bad omen. But he very cleverly said, no, this augurs well. It means that I've seized this land with both hands. Which was pretty nippy thinking or a confidence trick. Whichever way you like.
Yes, William's a chance.
I'd like someone to explain to me what seized means.
Season is the word to seize. Season.
Oh, I see. It's old French Saxon.
It was a very long time ago. Yes. 66.
And you're challenging for deviation on correct... correct, yes, and you have a correct challenge, and you have the subject, Kenneth. And there are 11 seconds on omen starting now.
Why they call it Birdville omen is because it dropped a load on the... supposed to be delivering the messages because it was a carrier pigeon. And every time we looked up, people said, what are you doing? They said, waiting for it. They said, bloody or up.
So Kenneth got 2 points in that round, and he's still in fourth place. But he is only 2 points behind Brian Johnston and Peter Jones, and four behind Derek Nimmo, our leader. Brian, you begin the next round. The subject is limericks, and will you tell us something about the subject in just a minute, starting now?
I'm not very fond of limericks. Possibly because I can't make them up. I find it very difficult to get the two middle lines. And the last line is always a bit too...
Peter lines. Jones has challenged.
A repetition of line.
Yes,
no, it was
line and lines.
I said line and lines.
That's right, you did two different words there. And we have to listen very carefully. So you have another point for a wrong challenge. 51 seconds on limericks, Brian, starting now.
Very often the end is very rude and something you couldn't mention here.
Kenneth Williams.
Two berries.
Yes, you said...
Yes.
You said you would find it very difficult before. Very now, this was very... Yes.
Right.
So, Kenneth has the subject of limericks, and there are 47 seconds starting now.
There was a young lady of Ryde who ate a green apple and died. The fruit fermented inside the lamented and made cider inside her inside.
Brian Johnston.
Inside her.
I do think you did repeat the word inside.
Inside.
37 seconds, Brian, with you, starting now.
Some lyric...
Derek.
Hesitation.
I know, isn't it rotten? It's difficult playing
in my teeth.
35 seconds on limericks, Derek, starting
there
now.
There was an old poof of cartoon who took a lesbian up to his room. They lay on the bed and suddenly said, who does what, with what, and to who? Can I continue?
Lord Reith, turn in your grave. Brian Johnson challenged you, and we'd like to know what it was, Brian.
Well, there were two watts.
And I should think there were. In that situation, there were more than a few, but...
Right.
Derek, I think you've broken new ice in the realms of history of broadcasting, and if you want to write to us about them, please address your letters personally to Derek Nimmo, because you will get a personalised reply. With another limerick, perhaps. Brian, you have the subject of limericks, and there are 25 seconds left, starting now.
What I was trying to say before is that it's very difficult to finish some limericks, such as...
Derek Nimmo...
Repetition of difficult.
Derek, you got the subject back, and the 21 seconds on limericks starting now.
There was a young lady from Colesville who set herself down on a mole's hill. The inquisitive mole stuck his nose up and said, what? May I retire, I think. Before I'm made forcibly redundant.
I think it illustrated Brian's point about difficult to finish a lyric.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think some of them shouldn't have been started, actually. But Peter Jones, I'm pleased to say, got in on this round, because we might get one from him. So, Peter, yes, a correct challenge. I don't know what for, but it sounded correct. Into a shuddering halt, we're delighted to say. 12 seconds on limerick, starting now.
There was a young man of Torbay, when sailing to China one day, was lashed to the tiller by a
sex-crazed gorilla, and the Far East is a very long way.
Well, I think that was one of the funniest rounds in Just a Minute ever, don't you? And they all got points in it, I'm pleased to say. We heard on limericks from They All Spoke, and Derek is just in the lead, ahead of Peter Jones and Brian Johnston, and Kenneth just in fourth place only. Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject is Victorian parlour games. Kenneth, you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
One of these is very amusingly recounted by Wingrave Smith, and it consisted of the room being darkened, the contestant given a tale, which in this Stygian blackness he was supposed to attach to a donkey. Now, the result very often was falling about for those concerned because it didn't land up in the position which, strictly speaking, could be called correct. And consequently, little anonymous postcards were received by this poor man who had failed so lamentably in his predestined course, which of course in that period was looked upon with grave disfavor, such as the dressing room.
If anybody wished to complain about the speed at which Kenneth goes, all I can say is I think it needs great skill to keep up that particular pace of delivery for 60 full seconds, which he did. So as he wasn't challenged, he gets a point for speaking as the whistle went and a bonus point for not being interrupted. Well done, Kenneth. Peter Jones begins the next round, and the subject is scuba diving.
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Well, I don't see why you shouldn't really use this sort of gear with the tanks of air.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Hesitation with the air.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Or was it air?
No, it wasn't air. 50 seconds, Derek, on scuba diving, starting now.
Well, the first time that I went scuba diving, I left Sydney, flew up to Rockhampton, and then caught a small aeroplane over to the island of Brampton. Put on my scuba diving equipment. Gosh, one felt brave with a little dagger down one's leg, and into the water I plunged with butterflies floating overhead, as I mentioned, and then I saw coral as I had never witnessed it before. All manner of beautiful fish, barramundi, which I'm sure Mr. Brian Johnson would know tremendously well because he travels a lot to the Antipodes, and angelfish. They, I suppose, are the...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
A repetition of fish.
Yes, there were more than a few fish around. Sorry.
Derek, well, that's what you look for when you go scuba diving.
Yes, I know, but I'm afraid you can't repeat it in just a minute. So, 14 and a half seconds on scuba diving with you, Peter, starting now.
A complete set would be very useful, I think, when riding a bicycle in the centre of London, because you'd be able to breathe air instead of carbon monoxide, and you would be a great deal safer from the health point
Brian
of view.
Johnston.
I may be very ignorant. Has this got anything to do with scuba diving, riding
through
the
streets of
London?
Well, he talked about the equipment, you see.
Yes, diving in and out between the buses. And I wish this man wouldn't keep interrupting me.
He hasn't played it as often as you. Yes, and he did take the scuba diving equipment, so I think he was still on the subject. And there are 2 seconds with you, Peter, still on scuba diving, starting now.
I can really recommend
Peter Jones has now moved forward. He's still one behind our leader, Derek Nimmo, one ahead of Brian Johnston, and Derek Nimmo is only 2 behind Brian, and Brian begins the next round. The subject is decimalization. Can you tell us something on that subject, Brian, in the game, starting now?
I was never very good at mathematics, and decimalization is something I simply could not do, because I am used to vulgar fractions and those sort of things. I used to add them up, I used to divide, I used to multiply. But now...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Well, I don't want to talk about decimalization, but he can't keep saying used like that.
No, you did say I used to three times, I'm afraid, Brian, yes. 47 seconds on decimalizations, Peter, starting now.
Or, alternatively, 4.7 kind of... by the decimal system. It could be if you multiplied it by 10, because if everything goes in that particular number, 1 0, or stroke zero. Point.
Yes, Derek.
Well, he seems to have stopped, so I would say hesitate.
Well, I stopped at the decimal point.
Yeah, he's
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yes, Brian,
he had a couple of points again, like he had two watts before.
That's right. But, Brian, you're like him on at some point, but there's no buzzer, so I think you had to press a bit harder.
Oh, yes, it was because he hesitated, but I hesitated too, so I didn't press on.
I'm sorry. So Derek actually got in there with a correct challenge, and there are 32 and a half seconds decimalisation, Derek, starting now.
With decimalisation, I feel awfully sorry with people with a name like, say, Halfpenny, who are now presumably called 0.5p, which I think must be a terrible thing to have to carry through life. The first attempt at England at decimalisation was, in fact, in 1849, when they brought in the florin, named after the Florentine coin of the same name. And it's jolly interesting that at that moment they thought of that as being one-tenth, you see, of the current pound. If we'd only started all those years ago, we wouldn't have had all this boring stuff we had more recently, would we? And I think that's...
Well, Derek's got another point. Speaking as the whistle went, creased his lead, but he's only two ahead of Peter Jones and just ahead of Brian Johnson, and Kenneth is bringing up the rear quite strongly, and he begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject, Venice. That lovely city. Will you tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now?
It was in Venice, in the Hospital Inglese, that Baron Corvo was resting after what had been appalling as an illness, and the place was visited by the Queen. It was Alexandra, and she stopped at his bedside and said, "How are you?" "I haven't had a cup of tea. The place is awful. The meal's revolting." And she had a whip round among the ladies in waiting and produced £19, which I think, you know, was extraordinarily generous. And whenever I'm in Venice, I think of this little incident. I also love to go and sit in St. Mark's Square, which Henry James rightly called the drawing room of Europe. Sit there and see all those incredible people pass by. I saw Doet Bogard there. I could hardly believe my eyes. And Eve Arden. I don't actually know her, but I did get her autograph on an old copy of the Times.
Well, in spite of sitting twice in St. Mark's Square, which was repetition, he kept going. They didn't pick him up until the whistle went, got a point for speaking then and a bonus for not being interrupted, and he's still in third place. But he is only two behind Brian Johnston, four behind our leader, Derek Nimmer, who begins the next round, snaps. That is the subject, Derek, starting now.
I remember getting a telegram when I was in Adelaide Cricket Ground from Mr. Brian Johnston saying, "Hello, Nimmers, Blowers and Johnners arriving tomorrow." And when they got there, we looked at each other and said, "Snaps," because we both had Melbourne Cricket Club time.
But Peter Jones,
it's not quite Melbourne.
I must explain to our listeners that that round of applause was for a lady who was forced to leave because the programme had gone on so long. And, or maybe it's just because Derek Nimmer started to speak once again. And she's now returned to a thundering round of applause. And
I don't know what we're playing at, really. Are we going to start again now?
Well, you've played that game before. One lady goes out of the room. Has a drink and you have to guess who it was.
Oh, yes.
And the winner goes out and joins us.
And in just a minute, if a member of the audience is cut short, they are allowed to leave, but if the panel feel like that, they have to somehow keep going. And Peter Jones, you have the subject of Snaps. No, you didn't. It was Brian Johnson who chose.
No, I challenged.
Peter, that's right. Yes, what was your challenge? That's right.
I did.
Yes, what did it?
Repetition of both.
Both? Yes.
Both.
No, anyway. One was Botham.
No, it's not. Right. Rubbish. Yes. Absolute rubbish.
Anyway, Peter, you have a correct challenge, and there are 42
seconds. You have no idea. You have no idea whether I said both or not.
You got to this thing about Melbourne, and it all cut out. You didn't even say Melbourne. And you do so terribly. And the audience loved it, but you did commit one of the crimes of Just a Minute, and Peter Jones got in with the correct challenge, and there are 42 seconds on Snaps with you, Peter, starting now.
When Robert Benchley arrived in Venice, he sent his wife a telegram saying, "Streets flooded, please advise." Now, this had nothing at all to do with Snaps, one of my favourite little Jack Russell puppies. Because he had these little...
Derek, never a chance.
Repetition of because.
Rubbish!
Rubbish! You did say because before, I'm afraid, Peter.
I said because before.
Yes, you did.
What's this dog got to do with it?
Who's a Jack Russell called Snaps?
He didn't say so.
No, he said, yeah, I said the subject is Snaps.
You're saying so? You're putting words in his mouth. He don't know where they've been.
Especially if I borrowed them from you. So, Derek, you have 7 seconds on Snaps starting.
Standing in this bar in Amsterdam, I said to this chap, "What's that bottle over there?" And I thought he said Snaps, but it wasn't quite that edge. Anyway, he poured some, and John and I said, "Well, I took a photograph."
Well, that was certainly one of the longest rounds in Just a Minute, and I now have to give you the final score. Well, they all scored a lot of points, and they all deserve them as well. Brian Johnston, coming back as a guest, not having played the game for nearly a year, did remarkably well. He finished in third place alongside Kenneth Williams. Both of them gave great value. They were a little way behind Derek Nimmo. He finished 1 point behind this week's winner. That last final flourish on that snappy performance from Peter Jones took him into the lead. Our winner this week. We accept the applause for all of them because it's not so much how many points you get but the way you play the game, and they've given great entertainment. It's lovely to be chairman of this show when we've got such talented people. I hope you've enjoyed their talent and enjoyed the show and want to tune in again. Same time next week, we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Till then, bye-bye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.